Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
I want to invite you to find 1 Samuel chapter 18. We continue with our study on the life of David and looking at biblical heroes. This message is called, Like David, Hear God's Cheers to Dodge Saul's Spears. Now, I want you to pull that out and let's study God's Word together, because I am convinced if you will apply the principles that you will find here in God's Word, it can change all of your relationships. It can make a massive difference in the way the rest of your life unfolds. Because, friends, your life is your relationships. And when you get your relationships right, then God is honored and your life is blessed. I also want to thank those people who are joining us on television. I constantly meet people who watch our broadcast ministry, Crossroads. So I want to invite the thousands of people that we can't see to open your Bible and join us in worship. And when you can, come see us. We'll make you feel right at home. Well, let's look here at God's Word, because I'm convinced that everybody has some form of a people problem. The poet got it right. In heaven above, with those that we love, that will be glory. But on earth below, with those that we know, that's another story. Now, I discovered a long time ago that you don't have to be a cannibal to be fed up with people. Amen? We all get fed up with people. People cause problems. They can hurt us. They disappoint us. So we all have some form of a people problem. Human conflict starts in Genesis chapter 4 with Cain and Abel. You remember those brothers had an argument, and Cain hated his brother as long as he was able. He actually killed him. So I want you to think about this. What was your latest point of conflict? Who was it with? As a matter of fact, would you note on your outline, who is your difficult person? Who is your difficult person? Who flies in like a witch on a broomstick into your life and gives you fits? I want you to imagine that irritating individual right now. And maybe you don't have to imagine it, because maybe you're sitting beside that irritating individual. And so they're very easy to locate and identify. But they may be in this room. You may be looking at them, but I want you to identify your difficult person. I did meet a girl one day, and we were talking about her marriage, and she said, oh yes, I married Mr. Right, but I didn't know his first name was Always. Maybe you're connected to somebody like that. They're never wrong. They're always right. They're controlling. I did see a guy one day who was my friend, and I just happened to notice that his wedding ring was on his right hand. I said, what's the deal? Why do you have your wedding ring on the wrong finger? He said, I married the wrong woman. You see, we have intimate enemies, don't we, friends? There's a guy named Bach Wyden, and he wrote a book that I love called The Intimate Enemy. Enemies generally are not people out there at a distance that we don't know, but generally we live under the same roof. There's only a thin line between love and hate. And you know that's true. So maybe there's an intimate enemy in your life. I want you to identify that person. It's interesting, that person may be your child, your mate, your parent. Could be somebody that you work with, a neighbor just across the street. It could be an in-law that you perceive as an outlaw in your life, always trying to take over. And you don't appreciate that? Who is your difficult person? A man named Bob Sheffield was writing about this, and he said, our difficult people come in various categories, and he made them very metaphorical. He said, my main difficult person is a Sherman tank. They come rolling in my life, and they always want to take over. Maybe your difficult person is like a stubborn mule. their mind is thoroughly mixed up like concrete and permanently set. You can't change their bad thinking. Maybe your difficult person is a control freak. Their motto is, my way or the highway. I'll either ruin it or run it. Nothing in between. Maybe you deal with snipers and gripers, people who specialize in criticism and judgmentalism and gossip. Maybe your difficult person is a Chicken Little. I deal with a good many Chicken Littles. Everything is an emergency. The sky is falling constantly. You've got to deal with this. Well, identify your difficult person, and then let's use David's pattern for dealing with conflict, because this can make all the difference. Let's pick up here in 1 Samuel 18. We'll start in verse 6. The scripture says, and it happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out from all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines and with joy and musical instruments. And the women's, here's the women's chorus, they sang and they played and they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul. He raved in the midst of the house while David was playing the harp. Saul took in his hand a spear. Verse 11, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought it would pin David to the wall, but David escaped from his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but he had departed from Saul. Can't you imagine that scene? I mean, it was just in chapter 16 that David is anointed king, the youngest of Jesse's sons. And then what happened last week, we studied in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. It was that magic moment of David slaying Goliath. Against all odds, he arises and he is victorious. The giant is slain by the power of God. Well, you would think that they would be on some kind of special high, but instead, jealousy ruins the moment. And here is Saul, jealous of young David, because of what a few women said. And so he's sitting there. His mind is in turmoil. David is functioning as his music therapist. And as David, the sweet singer of Israel, plays his harp, Saul is a man of battle. He's just playing with his spear. And all of a sudden, his heart is seized with evil. And can't you just imagine? He immediately goes into attack mode, and he tries to pin David to the wall with a dart. That's why I want you to understand about how to deal with your spear-throwing Sauls in your life and how not to become one. Let's pray. Father, help us. There's so much writing on this message. So, Lord, I pray that you would get me out of the way. Lord, I just see so many fouled and tangled relationships. People who can't deal with conflict, it becomes destructive instead of constructive. And I pray that right now you would take over this service, Lord. Get me out of the way, and may your spirit take your truth and apply it to every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's begin with number one, because I want you to learn these principles about how to deal with conflict management, because you will encounter a Saul. Number one, don't be surprised when you encounter a Saul. Don't be surprised. Jesus even said it like this, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have Sauls who come your way. Well, here it was. It was just a simple moment, an honest moment. The lady chorus of the Hebrews, they were singing, yes, Saul, you've killed your thousands, but David has slain tens of thousands. That lifted David up, but it burned Saul up. Here's one of my favorite sayings. When you are ripe with envy, When you are ripe with envy, you are prepared for trouble. Now, if envy takes over your heart, and if you begin to be jealous of what somebody else has, their gifts, their abilities, their personality, the way they look, if you become ripe with that envy, oh, you're set for future trouble. That's what happened here with my friend Saul. He was the king of Israel. He was the priest of the people of God. And yet he became a spear-throwing antagonist. So when you encounter the Sauls, here's what I want you to make a note of. It says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry, but do not sin, and don't let the sun go down on your anger. I've used this verse a lot in marriage preparation and marriage counseling, in our staff meetings, in my own life. This is one of the great verses. You ought to memorize Ephesians 4:26 because it acknowledges three great truths. Don't be surprised when you encounter conflict, because anger and conflict are normal and natural. I mean, it says be angry. For instance, in a home and marriage relationship, when you've got a bunch of sinners living in close proximity under the same roof, you are going to step on each other's toes. But what you do or don't do, you will create conflict. You will hurt each other. So don't be taken aback or surprised by anger and conflict. Be angry. But what does it say next? When you encounter anger, don't sin. Don't sin. Now, my friend, it is easy to rise up in righteous indignation and become a spear thrower and say, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. Be angry, but don't sin. Now, here's what I would suggest to you. Be angry, but don't sin. Do you know what that really means? Don't sin, practically, it means that when you feel hurt, don't become a spear thrower. Don't push back. Don't cuss your friend or your mate or your partner. Don't resort to physical violence, as is the standard of our day, trying to pin your David to the wall. Don't inflate facts. Don't manipulate. Don't become a tough guy or a drama queen. Stay level, loving, and Christ-like. Do not sin. When Cain was about to kill his brother, God gave him a warning. He said, the devil is crouching at your door. When you become a spear-throwing sinner, when you become hateful and hurtful, do you know who you're acting like? You're acting like the devil himself. Be angry, but do not sin, and don't let the sun go down on your anger. Do you know what that simply means? Summon the emotional energy to work it out. I love to go fishing. And sometimes when I go fishing, I get a knot in my line, a bird nest. Have you ever had that happen? Now, you can get frustrated and just pull out the clippers or the pliers, and you can cut that line off, and then you lose a lot of line and you can't cast as far. Or you can get patient, and in the same amount of time it takes to re-rig your line, you can work out that knot. I have done it hundreds of times. It just takes a little bit of a deep breath and a patience, and you pull that monofilament apart, and it'll come right back to the right place. Summon the emotional energy in a relationship where you work it out instead of walk out, where you talk it out instead of blow up or freeze up. That's the better way. That is the Jesus way. So I want to urge you to adopt Ephesians 4:26 as your method for dealing with conflict. And here's what I've discovered. I've dealt with plenty of conflict in my life on every level. And if you'll learn to be angry and don't sin and don't let the sun go down in your anger, be determined to work it out and do whatever necessary to achieve that good objective, your conflict is not destructive. It becomes very constructive. It builds a relationship. Well, let's go to the second truth that I see here. When you encounter a Saul, don't become a spear thrower. Don't become a spear thrower. If you'll look over at 1 Samuel chapter 24, you find a very interesting moment in Saul and David's journey. In 1 Samuel 24, David is being chased by Saul. It says in verse 1, "Now it came about when Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, saying, 'Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi.' So Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all of Israel, and he went to seek David and his men in front of the rocks of the wild goats." So here is Saul, bound and determined to hunt down David, to chase him, and to kill him. Now, here is an amazing moment. Let me tell you the essence of the story. So David is hiding in this cave. That place is just full of caves down there in that portion of Israel. So he is hiding with some of his key men in the back of a cave. And in the economy of God, out of all these caves, which one would Saul go in to have a bathroom break? Saul goes in to take a relief, a bathroom break. And as he goes into this cave, he is relieving himself, and they hear him. So all of David's men, they conclude the obvious. They say, "God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Let's go spear him. Let's go kill him when he's in that vulnerable moment of relieving himself." What a picture. And so David, what does he do? He doesn't want to become a spear thrower. He rejects that notion. And he said, "No, I will not lift my hand against God's anointed. If God wants to take out Saul, he can do it. But I will not be a spear-throwing agent of violence, hate, and destruction." So this is a picture of refusing to become a spear thrower. Look on your worksheet to Romans 12. "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. As far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." Well, you can fight fire with fire, or you can fight fire God's way with love. So let me show you how to do that. Let me give you a three-part breakdown. A, understand their motivation. Would you write that down? Understand their motivation. It says that Saul was coming after David, and David knew why. You see, the reason Saul was coming after David is very simple. Saul had a son named Jonathan, and Jonathan was supposed to be heir to the throne. And so all Saul was trying to do is protect the throne for his son. Well, who was David's best friend? It was Jonathan. So he totally and clearly understood his motivation. And that's a great starting point. Would you try to, when you're in a conflict situation, summon your ability to listen? Stop debating, quit focusing on what has hurt you, and simply learn to listen. It says in Colossians 4:6, this is one of my favorite conflict verses, "Let your speech be seasoned as with grace, so that you always know how to respond to everyone." Well, the only way you know how to respond to people is if you've listened. So I would urge you to develop a great set of listening skills. Listen with your eyes. If I've got some sort of a big conflict situation going on, I listen with a pen and a notepad. I am taking notes so that I can be at full focus to get clarity. And I would also listen with empathy. Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, this is the golden rule, treat others as you want to be treated. In other words, take a walk in someone else's shoes. Try to get into their skin. Set aside why you are offended and try to understand that friend's motivation. Here's what I've discovered. This is one of the greatest truths I've ever discovered. I want you to let this sink in. When you are empathetic with people and listening to people, you generally will hear their hurt. And here's the great truth. Hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt other people. That's how it really works. When I was a kid, I had this funny experience. We lived out in the country, and we had a barn, and my dad had a lot of feed in the barn because we had some milk cows. And so these raccoons were coming up to the barn and getting in the feed. And raccoons are very resourceful. I mean, they are tricky. They can figure out how to get into places. So my dad assigned me to go set some traps and catch the raccoons and get rid of them because they were hurting our feed. So I set my traps, and I was kind of getting to get those coons, and went out the next morning to find them. And instead of finding the coon, I caught my dog. Our relationship was never quite the same, actually, after that experience. It was a small trap. He was a big dog. It didn't hurt him too bad. Didn't do him any good. But anyway, so my dog is just, he's just really hurting. So I reach down, and the way a trap works, you just break the two steel arms, and it opens back up. Well, when I grabbed a hold of those arms, you know what the dog did? He bit me. That rascal bit me. I all but shot him, but I really resisted. So I reached down, I opened it up, and after he let go of me, his foot came out, and he started licking me. You see, hurt people hurt people. Hurt dogs hurt dogs. But if you're dealing with somebody that's been beat up in life, don't be surprised if they pass it on, because people give what they got. That's how it really works. So please empathetically listen to people and hear their hurt, and then you're more capable of dealing with that. So let's move from motivation to communication. When we pick up in chapter 24, beginning about verse 8, this is kind of a funny moment. So here is Saul relieving himself. David rejects the notion of killing him in his moment of vulnerability, but instead, you know what he does? He sneaks in beside him and he cuts off part of his cloak. Well, after Saul is finished with his business, he leaves the cave and he is headed out with his 3,000 men. And do you know what David does? David comes to the edge of the cave and he says, "Hey, Saul, do you see part of your cloak that's missing? God delivered you into my hands and I could have killed you, but I have exchanged your hate for mercy." Saul was humbled. God touched his heart. He repented. So this honest communication from David, who spoke the truth in love, made quite a difference in that conflict situation. So here's the extrapolation. When you're in the middle of a conflict, what is your communication pattern? Some people get in an argument with their spouse or with a loved one or somebody they work with, and they just blow up. They become Mount Vesuvius, and they just spew lava all over who they're talking with. Other people freeze up in the middle of the conflict. They just zip their lip. They don't say anything. They just play the role of the martyr. They move over to the corner. But the best thing to do is not blow up or freeze up. It's to speak up. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. Don't turn the truth into a hammer to whip somebody, but speak God's truth in love. Let me give you some tips. Would you mark down Proverbs 15:1? A soft answer turns away anger. And Proverbs 15:1, in other words, use a calm, even, sweet tone. Delete the sarcasm. Delete the dramatics. Delete the inflated facts. Delete the manipulation. Delete the intimidation. Look somebody square in the eye and speak with a calm, loving, even tone. Lighten it up a little bit. This isn't World War III. Give them a smile, touch their hand, and speak kind and not harsh words. And then here's what's going to happen. Go to the sea. You will be able to seek God-honoring reconciliation. If you understand their motivation and offer communication, you'll generally find reconciliation. That's what happened. For a while, there was a truce between David and Saul. Saul stopped pursuing David. There was peace for a season. Now, if you start becoming a spear thrower, you become the difficult person. You become the Saul. But the better way is to do what the scripture says in Romans 12 on your worksheet, and as much as it depends upon you, be at peace with all people. A quick personal story. When we were in the process of raising funds to build the sanctuary in these buildings, there was a good bit of chatter on the channels. And a good friend of mine, it had come to me, was speaking very negatively about this building program and the concept, speaking negatively not only about it, but of me, that my motives were bad. Well, that hurt my feelings, and I could have just said, you know, I reject that, I don't receive it, I withdraw. But I decided to call him because this is my brother. So I decided to have a call where I would do these basic things, try to understand their motivation, offer honest communication, and seek reconciliation. Do you know what happened? By the time I listened to him and heard his concerns and then shared my heart, that friend wrote one of the biggest checks for this building that we've received. Now, I could have written them off. I could have said, okay, if you don't get it, I don't have time for you. But there's a better way, the Jesus way. Instead of throwing a spear, why don't you throw some love and truth? Instead of acting like Saul, why don't you act like the Savior and move in close with a soft and tender spirit? Well, here will be the result. The result will be reconciliation. Instead of spears, you can find cheers. And number three is the bottom line here. Don't become sidetracked. Don't become sidetracked. Here's what I love about David. Even though he was in the middle of all this conflict with Saul, look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18 is framed in this experience, and David simply focused not on Saul, but on the Savior. He said, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Do you see how all of those my's personalize his relationship with the Lord? And that is his true focus. Focus on the Savior, not the spears, not Saul. One of my favorite sayings is this: a dog can whip a skunk anytime he wants, but it's not worth the stink. And it applies to a wolf. A wolf can whip a skunk about any time he wants, but it's not worth the stink, friends. Rather than be a troublemaker, let's subscribe to Matthew 5:9 and be God's peacemaker. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the privilege of hearing this practical set of instructions on how our relationships can be redeemed through constructive conflict. Lord, we don't want to be spear throwers, but instead we want to be focused on you. We want to be like you, Lord, not troublemakers, but peacemakers. Let that be the prevailing spirit of our hearts this day. We release your spirit to work among us. And I pray, Father, that people would respond accordingly. I ask for that in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.